Welcome to Time to Revive, a ministry program designed to equip the saints to share the gospel and make disciples as Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28. Grab a paper and pen and let's get started.
Welcome to Time to Revive. My name is Angie, and I am so glad that you guys are joining us today. In the studio with me, Mark Bird from Revive, Ohio. Now, we have been covering over the last few weeks, we've talked about love and loving people. Why should we love people? How do we love people? Last week, we started talking about what are our motives for going out and sharing the gospel with people. You know, it's good. It's right to be living out the gospel and to be taking Matthew 28 and putting it into practice. But I know that sometimes people have the wrong motives, and you may not even realize it. It might be you, right?
Right.
I mean, even myself, I've done some self-examination is the more we've talked about this. Last week, we talked about what does it look like for our reputation if we are going out and doing these things? Why do we care so much about other people thinking we are a Christian who has it all together? Right, Mark?
Yeah, and the question begs, are we just checking the religious box? Because as you said, Angie, Matthew 28:19, and we've talked about it 100 times on the show, but okay, well, the scripture does say that, and we should do that. That is the Great Commission, but are we doing it almost robotically in response because this is what the law says and this is what I must do?
Right.
And so when you do that, I'm afraid that people can see right through that. And I'm speaking from experience because I've been there, okay? So the self-examination thing is okay, and it's actually better than being have it brought to our attention by someone else.
Absolutely. So today I want to talk specifically about how we do this just to feel better about ourselves, which you started talking about it a little bit. When we read the scripture, you mentioned last week that you, as a young Christian, read the scripture and you were compelled to go out and share the gospel.
Yeah, I did. And it was in response to what I was learning when I was learning about Jesus. As we examine him and examine what he did, how did he do his ministry when he was out and about? Because he was out and about all the time. And he was meeting people where they were. And when he starts talking about the Holy Spirit to his disciples, he starts to bring in a new concept. So listen, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you someone that can advocate for you. I'm going to send someone who's going to do the work for you, basically, is what he's saying. So today, what I thought we might dive into here, Angie, is out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it's really talking about instruction on how to live right in what Jesus is really looking for. And again, these things can be found out by doing some self-examination. So as he starts in verse 14, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. Right there, it sets the stage for motivation, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
What is a motive right there? Are you going out with these things in mind? And then it's neat how he goes into verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. So you put yourself in their shoes, and you probably heard me say this a lot, Angie, that's what you really have to do. Picture yourself being in their shoes, whoever you're encountering. Like, how would it seem to you if you were being approached by you? Would it be weird? Would I feel love? Would I feel a motivation to help?
Would I come across as a salesperson with something to sell?
With an agenda.
Yeah.
That's good. And so this is saying here, right here, do what is good both for yourselves and for all. Here's what I want to start talking about today. It says, rejoice always. It says, pray without ceasing. And then it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then verse 19, which we'll unpack here in a couple minutes, it says, do not quench the spirit and do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast what is good, and then abstain from every form of evil. Interesting on that note, Angie, could a wrong motive be a form of evil?
Well, I mean, inadvertently, absolutely.
And again, not necessarily intentionally, right?
Right.
Like, sometimes we're not even aware of this stuff.
I think I feel like it, I'd rather say it's not doing any good.
Right.
I mean, and if it's, I don't want to say, hey, people are doing evil, because that's really harsh.
Right.
I would rather say, we're not helping the Holy Spirit if we're doing it with wrong motivations.
That's right.
I know what you had said this before, and it really stuck with me. What was Jesus' motivation? Mm. And if you think about that, you have to think about, am I doing that?
Right. Do we dare ask that question? Do we dare ask that question? What was Jesus's motive? Did he have a motive? I think he definitely did.
Absolutely.
And everybody that you talk to, whether you're a believer or not, if you just took a survey, everyone would say, well, I'd say Jesus' motive was love. I think that's a pretty common thing that everybody knows that, right?
Sure.
Jesus' motive was love. So are we known because our motive is love?
Right. It doesn't it say in the scripture that we'll be known by our love?
Our love. That's right. So it's apparent,
wow.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So as we dig into this here, it says in verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. So then it must be true that we can quench the Spirit.
Yeah, very true.
So can our motive quench the Holy Spirit?
So the New Living Translation says to stifle.
Mm.
And to me, that looks a little different. It's still the same thing. I still think of the clogged drain pipe.
Yeah.
The more we put down little pieces of hair, those little pieces of hair aren't really a lot until you start doing a lot of them. And then it slows down the process of the draining.
Right.
Can't our wrong motives do the same thing? They may be very small, but eventually they clog up the drain and then the Spirit can't flow through us.
Right. And of course, we looked at last week, John chapter 7, and Jesus said that out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So my question is, if Paul's saying you can quench or hinder the Holy Spirit from moving, but God's desire is that he would move through us, then I think that our motive can be a hindrance.
So how is it when we're talking about wanting to feel better about ourselves, how does that quench the Holy Spirit?
Again, I think that God knows and looks upon the heart. He knows our heart. He looks upon our heart. That's how he sees us. He looks at everything through the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God divides joint and marrow, soul and spirit, and it judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God, who is Jesus, judges our heart. So if there's not the right motive or the right heart there, it's going to hinder him from being able to move through you.
So Mark, let's take a moment and let's step back. What does it look like when we say we want to feel better about ourselves when we do this? How does it look?
So the motivation is, Angie, then, honestly, now let's be transparent about this. If we want to feel better about ourselves, we actually want to be pleasing to God.
Mm.
Could that be?
Interesting.
Think about that, because we do want to please God, right?
Yes.
Now the selfish part is we want to feel better about ourselves.
Right.
But we really want to know that we're pleasing to God. So it's not purely wrong. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
But if the examination of our own conscience brings out the fact that, well, I'm doing this because I want to get rid of the shame and guilt that I have in my own life. And guess what? That's an internal struggle, right?
Do you think that some people, they feel like they have to prove to themselves that they are becoming a better person, and that's why they want to go out and see other people? Do you think they want to feel better about themselves from that perspective?
Yeah, I've seen this many times, Angie, where a person will go, and if they can find someone with more wrong things in their life, then they can compare themselves to that and feel better about it. But again, it's a false sense of security. See what I'm saying? Are you finding your security in that if you're able to find someone that's sins in a different way than you? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be looking for that. We should be looking at building a bridge, offering Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Because he's the answer for me, and he's the answer for them.
And it's all got to be done in love.
It does.
Back to the love thing.
Because it will be so apparent to every person that you encounter. And so I'm reminded, Angie, of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Paul's echoing the same exact thing here. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So again, Paul's reiterating here to the church at Ephesus that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. So if we have the wrong motives, then we can grieve the Holy Spirit. It can clog the drain.
So I guess the moral of the story for these 2 weeks has been that we need to really prayerfully go to God and ask Him to reveal to ourselves what our motives are, because we want to be able to go out with right motives. And I would say even to take the next step and ask God to show you His love for people.
Right. So, Angie, I want to conclude with this scripture out of James 4 that just came to my mind as we were talking. James exhorts us to draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. So as we're examining our own hearts in this, if we have wrong motivations, if we find that little check within us, if we're honest with ourselves and with God, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. And He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now He's writing this to the church. You see what I'm saying? But He's exhorting us to cleanse ourselves, to examine our hearts, call on God. If we find these motives in our hearts, it's okay. Just get right with the Lord. Again, like you said, Angie, before we go out to share, make sure that you go see the Father.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great way to kind of wrap up our teaching time this morning. You are listening to Time to Revive here on Shine FM.
All right, I'm here with Pastor Robin Ricks from Christ Our King Church in lovely Bell Fountain, Logan County, Ohio. I'm Mark Bird from Revive Ohio, by the way, and we sat down today and we're going to talk about what God has done, but yet because He's an eternal God, He is still doing it today. And one of the things that we want to just chat about today is we want to talk about Revive Ohio came to Logan County in April of 2017. And one of the neat things that I love about Revive Ohio and doing this is I'm able to get introduced and connect with pastors that are already like-minded, that already love the Lord, obviously, but have a kingdom mentality. So when I was introduced to Pastor Robin Ricks, he already had a kingdom mentality. He already had the desire to see the body of Christ come together and work together to share the gospel and make disciples, which is what we do. So Pastor Ricks, thanks for sitting down with me today.
Well, first of all, thank you, Mark. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah. And so one of the things I just want to kind of open up and let the listeners hear about today, Pastor Ricks, is take us through, just kind of walk us through, like when we were first introduced. And typically, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, this sounds pretty good, but I really need to know more. But kind of walk us through that, Pastor Ricks. Like, what was your perception and how this thing come about to the point to where you connected, you engaged, and then your church in a really big way connected and are still engaged?
Well, first of all, you probably would never say this about yourself, Mark, but, you know, it was your beautiful heart. And that's not something that you wear like a T-shirt or a blinking light. It's not something that you control. It's genuinely you. And because of your open heart and your kind spirit, I could see Jesus in you. And so it is out of that, as I listen more, you know, if we look at the word revive, just as a word revive, the key word in revive is really the R-E, the revive. So if vive is to come alive, then revive is to come alive again. And that's what I really saw revive doing. It calls believers in the Lord who love the Lord to come alive to possibilities that we could be one, that we could gather and minister together as one. We could go through the streets and we could laugh together and we could cry together and we could see God's hand move on people's hearts. And the testimonies were tremendous and the spirit of unity. And all of a sudden, we began to visualize the possibilities of what heaven would be like when we get there. because it was taking place among us here. And so I saw fears melting. Mm. I saw divisions dissipate. And we got down to the core of the purpose of God and the heart of God and God's dream to be fulfilled in Jesus's prayer request. Mm. Father, make them one. And Revived helped us on a bigger scale to get that done. And as you said, it continues even today, not only in Logan County and the other counties that Revive has come to, but it's reaching out into other parts of the country. And so for this cause, God is being glorified. So again, thank you so, Mark, for just being you.
Thank you, Pastor Ricks. And one of the exciting things for me is that we work really hard at bringing the message out that we don't just desire this to just be an event, but we desire for this to be an ongoing revival in the communities that we bring it to. And one of the neat things for me is I see folks from your church, Pastor Ricks, really grab a hold of that, and I see them going out into the community. Now, as Revive Ohio, we're continuing to come together to go out and share the gospel. But what I love is your church said, you know, that's just not enough. We're going to actually go out more often than that. And I see them actually doing the works of the Lord instead of talking about it. And so from that perspective, that really blesses us, Pastor Ricks. But can you speak to that? What's some of the things that you have seen with the folks that go to church here? What fruit have you seen come into their lives?
Well, in the warmer months, we have what we call the prayer walks. And that's going into the community. And with no agenda other than the fact we believe God that as we encounter people and as well as the people we don't encounter, we just stop by the house on their sidewalk and we just pray for that family. We don't have to know who they are, but we know whoever lives in that home needs Jesus.
Amen.
And so then as the months grew a little cooler, as a collective church body, we included the parents and their children. And what we're doing is called prayer drives.
Oh, wow.
So a prayer drive is this: a dad, a mom, and the kids, or a single mom and her kids, and they choose their day. And they just say, well, we got four or five families we're going to pray for.
That's great.
They don't go into the home. They just pull in the driveway. And the children are observing their parents.
Amen.
Praying for someone else. And in return, the children are praying with their parents for that family, and it becomes something that's just the norm.
That's awesome, Pastor. So one of the things that we talk about is love, listen, discern, and respond as a part of the method that we use. And so what I'm hearing you say, because one of the things that we share as we're doing our equipping and training of the body of Christ is we say, you know what we're needing to do in the beginning is just to love on our community. And what I hear you talking about, Pastor, is that your people are loving on their community. They're loving on their neighbors.
Yes.
Can you speak to that a little bit, the love piece, Pastor, that you've seen? You're actually seeing your people doing this. And what are some of the testimonies that you're hearing from your people as they do this?
Okay. Well, I can reflect back on several testimonies, but for the sake of time, I remember we were on the prayer drive was including the children because we're always training another generation to minister. And so the parents and the children, we were on this bicycle caravan. Mm-hmm. And so I remember some of the team members just stopped, and there was a man at the corner. And he was just trying to cross the street at Main and Sandusky. And the stoplight was holding him up and holding us up. But God knows how at the right place at the right time to meet a need. And so one of the brothers began to talk to him and ask him if he could pray for him. Mm-hmm. And he started out with some resistance, but then he ended up saying, well, yeah, man, why don't you pray for me?
Yeah.
And then after praying for him, he began to just share some of the things he was struggling with. on that corner of Main and St. Augustine, his name was written in the book of life.
Amen.
Because of his confession of faith in Jesus. And so that's just one of the many of testimonies where people have. We were on that bike ride in another event, and I was counting the lead, and it slowed down because someone had invited them, some of the team members, up on the porch.
Wow.
And on the front porch with the kids, and they began to share with them about Jesus. And the children observe their parents leading.
Amen.
With love. And so I always have said, the greatest youth pastor ever known is called a parent.
Amen. That's awesome. That is an example, a true life example, that God's love went forth and we took that love. The body of Christ took that love out into a community to show or exemplify God's love, and this community began to respond.
Yes.
And it's contagious, and it's fun, and it's reviving.
Yes.
And it's good.
I agree.
And God is blessing it.
Yes.
Pastor Ricks, thanks for your time today. This has been a great conversation. And this is Time to Revive on Shine FM.
Thank you for listening to Time to Revive, brought to you by Revive Ohio. Join us again next Wednesday at 9 for another edition of Time to Revive.
We're community supported Shine FM.